Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining me again today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination of Elijah and what the Scripture reveals to us about him. And actually, the more you look at it, the more amazing it is. Remember, we launched out of James chapter 5, where James was telling us that Elijah was a man like us. And then we've seen all these various things. We're in the New Testament now. And I started to skip over this. And I thought, no, let's just do this just sort of as a quick review kind of thing. And what I'm talking about is each one of the Gospels says something about Elijah. We've looked at what Matthew has to say, and then you pick it up in Mark, and there's several passages in Mark. And they're basically recounting the same events. But it'd be good for us just to be reminded of it. And also, you see certain little nuances in why things came about. I'll show you an example right here. In Mark chapter 6, verse 14, says this, and King Herod heard of it, okay, heard of what Jesus was doing, casting out demons, healing people. King Herod heard of it, for his name had become well known, that's Jesus. And people were saying, John the Baptist has risen from the dead, and that is why these miraculous powers are at work with him. So the people were saying that it was John the Baptist. Well, why were they saying this? Well, Herod had killed John the Baptist, right? Verse 15. But others were saying, he is Elijah. And others were saying, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he kept saying, John, whom I have beheaded, has arisen. You can imagine how that shook him, okay? Shook Herod. Well, this is sort of the basis for what we've seen in Matthew, because later on in Mark 8, Jesus says to his disciples, let me just read verse 27. Jesus went out, along with his disciples, to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he questioned his disciples, saying to them, who do people say that I am? They told him, saying, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others, one of the prophets. And he continued by questioning them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ. Verse 30, and he warned them to tell no one about this. And so we've seen sort of an extended version of that account right there in Matthew, but Matthew didn't have the account that Mark had about what was happening among the people in Herod. That's the reason that it's so important for us to receive the totality of what the Word has to say about a subject or a matter. Okay, that's the reason that we study without ceasing, right? That's the reason that we desire to bring it all together, yes, with knowledge, but yes, in the power of the Spirit. So let me just go through the balance of the passages where Elijah is mentioned in the Gospel of Mark. Here is Mark chapter 9, verse 4, says this, Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Verse 5, Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. So you remember that's the account of the transfiguration and Peter's response to that. And well, out of that came this question from the disciples, verse 11 of Mark 9. They asked Jesus, saying, why is it that the scribes say that Elijah should come first? Then the next two verses, Jesus answers them. And he said to them, Elijah does first come and restore all things. And yet, how is it written of the Son of Man that he will suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has indeed come, and they did to him whatever they wished, just as it is written of him. Now, that gives us a little insight and some nuance into something right there, okay? Matthew closed that out and said, with an extra verse, remember that? When he said, and then they knew that he was talking about John the Baptist, the one who had come, and if you'd believed. But look at verse 12 of Mark 9 again. Jesus says this, Elijah does first come and restore all things. And yet, how is it written of the Son of Man that he will suffer many things and be treated with contempt? And I've just sort of seen this and made this connection here. The Messiah was known to be the one that's going to come in might and power and restore the kingdom, right? And that's what most of Judaism was looking toward and anticipating. The concept of the suffering servant, the concept that the Son of Man, that the Son of Righteousness, that Messiah, would be treated with contempt. The people as a whole didn't really know about that. The religious rulership did, and there was great debate, as a matter of fact, between this victorious servant, okay, this victorious one that would come, and the suffering servant. They couldn't figure out what the deal is. And Jesus is actually feeding into this by asking this question. And yet, how is it written that the Son of Man, that he will suffer many things and be treated with contempt? So here's what Jesus is saying. In the same way that the Son of Man comes and suffers many things and is treated with contempt and is going to be killed and will be resurrected on the third day and then will come victorious again, you can look at Elijah in the same way. That Elijah has come. And if you believe that Jesus is Messiah, then John the Baptist fulfilled the role and the functioning of Elijah. If you don't believe that, the day is coming in the last days before the great and terrible day of the Lord that Elijah will come. He will come in the natural. Again, I think he's probably one of the two witnesses you see in Revelation. That he'll come in the natural, he'll preach for a period of time, and then he'll be killed. And on the third day, he will rise from the dead. So he's saying, you know, you're wondering about how this is happening with Elijah, but the same thing is happening with me. That's what Jesus is saying. The same thing is happening with me. I'm here before you. The Son of Man is going to suffer things. He's going to be treated with contempt. He's going to be killed. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die. And after 3 days, he's going to rise again from the dead. And then I will come again at some future time. In the same way, Elijah is functioning through John. That role, that spirit. If you believe, then John is Elijah to you. If you don't, then Elijah is coming. That's some interesting things right here. Then the last two verses out of Mark, chapter 15. It's when Jesus is dying on the cross. And you remember this from Matthew. When some of the bystanders heard it, this is when Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, right? He said, when they heard this, they began saying, behold, he's calling for Elijah. Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink, saying, let's see whether Elijah will come to take him down. And so we covered that in the Matthew account right here. But you see, folks, rather than just sort of quickly reading over these passages, rather than just gleaning what we can at the moment, if we could stop for a second and say, Lord, what are you saying here? What is going on with this? Even in just the logistics of the historical flow of thought right here, it is amazing what the Lord will reveal to us. Particularly that passage right there that we just spent some time on, Mark 9:12, about the Son of Man suffering, that there's some parallels and some things right here for us to glean from each other. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time, and I'll see you again in the next episode, okay? Goodbye.